Okay. So I guess first and foremost, what's your diagnosis of how Bastrop County is faring with the coronavirus?
We are nowhere near the end of this. We're not even on a decline right now. We are on a steady climb and an increase in number of cases. And it's really important for people to stay safe, practice social distancing, wear a mask, wash their hands. Don't touch their face with unclean hands. To do all that they can to protect themselves from contracting the virus, and stay home if they're sick so they don't spread it.
Right. And so part of your recommendations is wearing a mask. How effective are masks in preventing contraction personally or to other people? And if you don't wear a mask, what's the risk?
Well, this is a highly contagious, infectious disease caused by a virus. That is, you get it because the virus is spread by somebody coughing or sneezing or speaking, and the tiny droplets that come out of their mouths travel through the air to those people that are in the vicinity. We've used the distance of 6 feet as the appropriate amount of space between you and the next person so that you don't come into contact with those droplets. But there have been situations where people who are outside of that can contract the virus if somebody's singing or coughing or sneezing. They can project those air droplets, those droplets of saliva, airborne droplets, further distance. So the using of a face covering or mask helps prevent those droplets from being spread out in the air to somebody else that's around you. And using specific types of masks can help filter what you're breathing in so that you don't breathe in those air droplets that are infected with virus.
Right. So, what would you say to people who argue that unless you have an N95 mask, wearing a mask is pointless?
I'd say that that's not true. You do get some protection from expelling those droplets that are infected into the air to those people that are around you. And the N95 is actually a layer, several layers of material. So, the using of a mask and helps to filter out what you're could be breathing in, so it's effective, and it does give you some protection.
Right. Okay. And some of the questions that we've been receiving is how many ICU beds are available in Bastrop, and is there a concern that they will fill up?
We don't have ICU beds in Bastrop County.
Okay, so all patients from Bastrop County that need an ICU bed are taken to Austin for care.
Yes.
Okay, and so you rely on, I guess, Austin Public Health for numbers of how many beds are available and things like that.
Yes.
Okay, and if someone's tested outside of Bastrop County, do their results get reported in Bastrop County's count, or are those figures reported in the county in which they were tested?
No, they are they're included in Bastrop County's count.
Okay, gotcha. And some questions we've received also is, if someone tests positive and then they go back to 3 weeks later to get another test to see if they're still positive or negative, if they get a second positive reading, does their second reading count as an additional virus count, or is it just one per person, and regardless of how many times you test positive or negative, it still remains just one?
It's one, and it's that person's assigned a case number, and that is not, we don't get a duplication. Not so. It's one person, one case.
Gotcha. What's the accuracy of these coronavirus tests now?
The accuracy is different for different companies. Mm-hmm. And the accuracy is also different based upon technique. If the swab, particularly the nasopharyngeal swab, is not going far enough up into the nose to get to the back of the nose, mm-hmm. sometimes you won't get viral harvesting. And the other thing is, if you're tested too early, you could be assessed as being negative when there just hasn't been enough time for there to be enough virus to be harvested. So typically, the best time to get a test is 8 days after you've been exposed, but you're still going to get some false negatives at about 20%, studies have shown. After symptoms, 3 days after symptom onset, you get less, you can get negatives at that time as well. So, mm-hmm. but the actual test itself, if it's collected properly, depending on the companies, somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 90% accuracy.
Okay. Gotcha. And some people have asked, what's even the purpose of getting tested if there's no cure, no vaccine? What's the point of getting a coronavirus test?
Well, in public health, we're trying to keep the public safe. And in this case, we're dealing with a pandemic. And the spread of this particular virus is more dangerous in that we do not have a vaccine or a treatment. So the best way to protect the public health is to test people, identify who has coronavirus, and have them stay in quarantine, isolation, and then find out who their contacts are and have those contacts stay in quarantine so that they, if they do develop illness, they won't be out spreading the illness. And if they are not sick, that's great. But if they do end up having the virus, we will then contain the spread of it. And that's how we're going to be able to bring this thing under control.
Right. Okay, so speaking of contact tracing, how much of it is being done in Bastrop County, and how effective do you feel it's doing?
We do not have a health department in Bastrop County, so our Region 7 at the Department of State Health Services serves as the health department for our county, mm-hmm. and they do contact tracing, and they have also contracted with another group to also do contact tracing.
Okay, so how prevalent is contact tracing in Bastrop County specifically?
I couldn't answer that question about prevalence.
Okay. And what's the benefit of doing contact tracing?
The benefit is that if you contact the people that you've been around and who you have exposed to the virus, if you do have COVID-19, you can help them by getting them to stay at home in quarantine for 14 days after the last day that they were exposed to you, so that they themselves can isolate themselves from others, particularly family members or friends or coworkers that may be at higher risk for having more ill effects from developing COVID-19. And you can protect your community by limiting the potential spread of this disease.
Okay. Can someone get COVID-19 more than once?
Yes, there have been studies that show that that is possible.
Okay. So the county's dashboard, coronavirus dashboard, is updated almost daily. I guess it sometimes isn't updated on Fridays and certainly not on Saturday and Sunday. But how up to date is the county's dashboard? And then also, why is there at times a rather large disparity between the counts on the county's dashboard and the state Health and Human Services dashboard?
As I was saying earlier, we don't have a health department, so we are receiving information from the Department of State Health Services, and they are receiving information not only from tests that are done in Bastrop County, but by the military testing teams in nursing homes in Austin at the mobile test sites, if people go in there to have tests done, from hospitals that are doing testing. So they have a lot more sources from which they receive testing results that are of people that are Bastrop County residents. So due to the sheer number of tests that they're receiving from all of the counties that are served by our region, there is a lag in time between when they receive those results and when that data is sorted and then inputted into their systems.
Gotcha. The death count, how are coronavirus deaths being considered a COVID-19 death? So, for example, we have some people who say, people die of a heart attack or, X, Y, and Z, and they're being considered a COVID-19 death. Is that true? And if not, how is it being differentiated?
If a person dies, the provider that or JP that writes the death certificate writes down the causes of death. And if a person has COVID-19, that will be entered as a cause of death, and it will be listed as a COVID-related death.
Okay, so if someone dies and they have COVID-19, it will count as a COVID-19 related death.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. So, would you say that if someone, has a heart attack, and they happen to have COVID-19, it will be counted as COVID-19, regardless if COVID-19 was the direct cause of the death?
What's the direct cause of the death?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Or you're saying indirect? Did you mean indirect?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So is there some of our readers have also argued that there's a benefit to hospitals or local governments in inflating coronavirus positive cases or deaths. They indicate that there may be a financial benefit to hospitals or local governments. Is that true? And do you know of any instance of governments inflating the number of cases that are positive?
No, I'm not aware of any instance where that would be of benefit or where that is being done.
Okay.
We are in the middle of a pandemic. We are gathering data faster than we can put it down on paper or put it in computers.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the data, I'm sure, whenever we get to the end of this, pray that it'll be soon, that's going to be studied and analyzed. So there's no benefit to anybody to inflate the numbers, nor is there any, that's not being done.
Okay. When someone recovers from the virus, is the county or the state health services department, what is considered a recovery? Is it they just test negative, or, you know, there's no lasting health conditions, or, like, is a death considered a recovery?
Guess what?
Like, if someone dies, is that also maybe considered that they have recovered from the virus?
That's not considered a recovery.
Okay.
Death is not considered a recovery. Okay. And recovery is determined either by testing, and the test method or strategy for assessing recovery is obtaining two negative PCR tests that are done 24 hours apart from each other.
Okay.
And then the non-test method is to assess whether a patient is better 10 days after the onset of their symptoms and has had no fever for the last 3 days of those 10 days and hasn't taken anything to keep their temperature down.
Okay. If someone is left with lasting health effects due to contracting COVID-19, if they've tested a negative twice in a 24-hour period, is that still considered a recovery even if there are extenuating health circumstances?
Yes, because the recovery at this point is determined, if you're using the non-test method, by an improvement in symptoms of 10 days after the onset of symptoms.
Gotcha. And what are some possible lasting effects that you've, you know, either witnessed or heard of from studies or other medical professionals that can exist after the coronavirus?
Fatigue, decreased stamina, shortness of breath,
okay.
Cough.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and is there more severe lasting effects?
There can be. Mm-hmm. There have been a lot of studies that show that there are numerous blood clots that they're seeing throughout the body, which has, you know, led us to believe that there is some vascular component to this disease, maybe even vascular component. So we are still studying this disease process, and there's a lot of data to be determined and studied.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, those of us who are not in the lab or in university centers doing those types of studies are treating and preventing this from overtaking our population.
Right. Okay. Do we know how many patients from Bastrop County are currently in an ICU bed or on a ventilator?
We know that we've had 30 patients, and I apologize, I haven't looked at the list today, in the hospital since this began. Okay. But we don't get a daily count of who is actually from Bastrop when we get hospital bed counts and that sort of thing.
Gotcha. So we've had 30 from Bastrop County since the pandemic began?
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. And it doesn't appear the county has a high rate of children testing positive. To what do you attribute that? And what is your opinion about schools reopening in August or September?
We actually have had over 110 people under the age of 19.
Okay.
19 and under that have tested positive. And that's without children being in school full time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm seeing on the dashboard it says there's 36 children between up to 9 years old that have tested positive, and 54 between 10 and 19. And yeah, like you said, that's with you know, children being out of school since spring break. So are you concerned that we may see more cases in children if in-person instruction begins this fall semester?
Yes.
So what can schools do to help curb a potential spread of the virus or having their campus become a hotspot?
Schools have been actively implementing mitigation strategies, and they will continue to do that when they start back with in-person instruction.
Mm-hmm. Have you recommended, or are you weighing potentially issuing like a health order, something like how Travis County did, where they're prohibiting in-person instruction until September 8th? Is that, I know Bastrop School District schools have already announced that they will, the first 3 weeks of school, have virtual learning, but have you discussed that with any of the other local school districts?
We're constantly in discussion to do what is best for the children of Bastrop County and all of the aspects of the impact of going back to school versus delaying schools beginning their in-person instruction have been discussed.
Right. As a medical professional, what would your recommendation be to a parent with a child that will be faced, you know, in September of sending their child to school or doing virtual learning at home?
I believe that parents need to make their decision about what is best for their child based on their situation, and that's a very personal decision that each parent's going to have to decide.
Mm-hmm. Are there any mitigation strategies parents can participate in to lessen the opportunity for their child to contract the virus?
Using a face mask is recommended for children over the age of 2,
mm-hmm.
Who don't have any medical condition or that would preclude their using one safely.
Mm-hmm.
Hand washing regularly is always a good way to stop people in general, and kids in particular, from becoming ill. And, you know, covering coughs and sneezes if they're not wearing a face covering. So it's, and then, you know, cleaning toys and surfaces and, it, you know, depending on the age group, encouraging them to practice social distancing. All of those things are ways of keeping your kids healthy.
Gotcha. There's been reports that the virus isn't affecting children as severely as people of more advanced age. Is that what you're seeing locally as well? And why do you think that's the case?
Well, from the information that we've obtained from other areas in the country and the world that have been where we are and where we may be going, children do tend to have a milder case of disease, and that's what we're seeing in our county. Mm-hmm. However, there are instances where children who are under the age of one or children that have immune compromised or underlying lung conditions like asthma or can have more severe illness, and those are the children that typically end up requiring a higher level of care. And also teenagers, late teens, they can also have more illness. So that's what we've been seeing here in our country from studies coming out of, or, you know, anecdotal reports from the New York area and so on. So that's the trend that we're anticipating will happen here as well.
Right. Cases of coronavirus have been growing exponentially in the state. We've seen somewhat of, you know, our cases locally in Bastrop County, you know, take hikes. Do you think Bastrop County is headed in the state's direction where cases are setting new record highs almost daily?
Yes. There's a trend that would suggest that that's exactly what's going to happen if we don't start doing what we did in the beginning, which, you know, kept our count down, which is social distancing, wearing masks, decreasing our size of groups congregating. Don't relax just because you know the people that are around you. Wear your mask. If you look at our counts as they've climbed after each and every holiday where people typically congregate with family and friends, we've had an increase in our numbers in the following 2-week period. Mm-hmm. So we can win this battle. We just need to do what we know is going to work.
Right. Have you had discussions with Bastrop County Judge Paul Poppe about are there considerations or benchmarks for a possible stay-at-home order to be issued in Bastrop County?
We do not have local authority to do that. The governor has issued an order that control of that lies with his office, and so there we won't be issuing a stay-at-home order locally.
Okay. If what would need to happen in Bastrop County for your recommendation to be, we need a stay-at-home order, even if our county judge is not able to implement, enact one because of the governor's order, at what point would you recommend that we may need one in Bastrop County?
I guess I've not entertained that question, Andy, because it's not something that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
My mission, my hope is that as people look at the numbers and as people understand that, you know, there is merit to following the example of those areas of the country and the world where implementation of mitigation strategies such as staying at home, avoiding gathering in closed spaces, in groups, you know, large groups of more than 10 people, washing your hands, you know, the things that I've said ad nauseum, you don't want me to say them again, but, you know, those things have worked.
Mm-hmm.
And in those places where that has been done, people have been able to resume their new normal. And I say new normal because until we have effective treatment and until we have a vaccine, we're going to have some level of caution as we go forward and try to socialize. And, you know, we're Americans. We don't like to be told what to do. But when we are confronted with adversity, such as in, you know, Second World War, we had to buckle down and ration, and people had to go start manufacturing things so that our troops would have what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do it. So I'm hoping that, you know, there's going to be a light that goes on and people are going to say, you know, we did this in the beginning. We kept our numbers down and we can do it again. We just will, and they'll do it voluntarily because people don't like to be told what to do. They didn't want to be told to wear a mask. But now people are starting to say, you know, that did seem to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that that's what's going to happen in this case, that we're going to start to encourage one another. And you're going to see somebody that's walking around without a mask and say, hey, you forgot your mask. You know, a gentle reminder,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like you don't let somebody drive drunk, you don't let someone walk around without a mask, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that will happen in our culture and quickly happen
yeah.
in our culture so that our cases will start to decline and less people will become sick.
Right. Back to more of the data. How many tests have been done in Bastrop County at, you know, your latest report?
3,683, according to the numbers from DSHIS.
And that's through yesterday or through today?
That's through yesterday.
Okay, through Thursday. And what's our positivity rate?
23.8.
That's quite a bit higher than the state average.
That's correct. And
yeah.
That is why we need people to wear a mask, stay home, wash their hands.
Yeah. So almost a quarter of all tests done in Bastrop County come back positive.
Mm-hmm.
Does that raise alarms for you?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm mm-hmm. being pretty emphatic about the mask and the other things I've been saying.
Yeah. Is there anything that, someone can take over the counter that can help prevent contraction or lessen the severity of the virus?
Not that we know of. There have been some anecdotal reports that certain vitamins can help.
Mm-hmm.
There are committees that are working round the clock to identify good prevention strategies, and they're plus or minus on things like vitamin C and vitamin D that have some effects on the inflammatory system
mm-hmm.
and the immune system. They're not recommending zinc. So, you know, if those are the things you're alluding to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they're on the ground among hospitals, EMS workers, first responders, the emergency management office, and in your office as our local health authority. What kind of county level meetings are you guys having? And is there anything where the public can, not attend, but listen in to get some of the information that you guys are discussing?
We don't have, we have regular meetings, and those meetings are not opened to public. There are planning meetings with various entities, and so those are meetings that are ongoing throughout the week. The emergency management coordinator, Christine Biles, does a weekly update that is posted.
Right.
On the situation in Bastrop County.
Mm-hmm. Because we've had residents who, one, they want to be able to ask their own questions, which we understand that it may not be possible. So if it weren't for this phone call that I'm thankful that you've accepted for me to be able to ask you questions, there's been no opportunity really for the media or the public to ask officials questions about the virus and what the situation is in locally. So they argue that more communication is needed. Would you, you know, be open to having, you know, these kind of possibilities like a virtual news conference or things like that?
I can certainly take it up with the incident command, and we can discuss how we can get more information out to the public.
Okay. And then the new directive for the hospitals, which is to report the data directly to the HHS, thereby bypassing the CDC, will that, in your estimation, affect the ability for the public to access or see the daily coronavirus data at the state for the state or county numbers?
I am not familiar with what this new process looks like, so I wouldn't be able to comment on what the impact is going to be.
Okay. And then lastly, is there anything that I didn't ask that you think our readers need to know, or is there anything that you really want to let our readers know that if you don't take anything else away from this, this is the one thing you should know?
This is not over. This is a marathon, and we need to continue to protect ourselves and our loved ones and our community from spreading the virus. So get tested, stay home if you're sick. And if you do go out, don't forget your mask, wash your hands, and avoid gathering in groups of larger than 10. And if you're in those groups, wear your mask.